Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So once again, we are back talking about being an entrepreneur. So much of it is wrapped up in our lives, who we are, what we do, how we do it, how we interact with our parents, our children, our wives, our spouses, whatever that person may be. It's all wrapped up in a one big ball called being an entrepreneur. Our guest today specializes in something that is near and dear to my heart and many of yours as well. That would be social media and advertising therein. His name is Jacob Bodsgaard with four A's. So how do you do that? B-A-A-D-S-G-A-A-R-D, Bodsgaard. Four A's in one word. I love that. What nationality are you? Where does that come from, Jacob?
It's Danish, actually. And what you didn't know is there's another double A in my middle name, which is Aaron.
Oh, man, has six A's.
So many of them.
You win. You get an A. I have two in Alan. It's pretty simple. Anyway, well, welcome to the show. By the way, everybody, Jacob is founder and CEO of Disruptive Advertising, disruptiveadvertising.com on the web. We're going to talk about this stuff because this is such an interesting thing. I had a little talk with him before the show, and I gleaned this very quickly, that 76% of the money we're spending on advertising and Google and Facebook and what have you is wasted. Why? Because we're just throwing money in hopes that it works. We really must use some principles. What are those? That's what we're going to cover here, because I'm helping my father, who is 90 years old. Now, this guy he's an entrepreneur. Before the word entrepreneur ever existed, my dad was an entrepreneur. I mean, and I'm sure it's been around a long time, but he's 90 years old, for goodness sake. He is still spending a lot of money promoting his stuff on Facebook. For a guy who, there's many people out there that love to promote their businesses that are solopreneurs. My dad's a bit of a solopreneur. And he doesn't have a big, giant company, a lot of people working for him. Small organization, promotes the living hell out of his stuff. And he's like, look, I have 12 million views on this video. I'm like, Dad, yeah, 12 million people that saw it for 3 seconds. That's considered a view. So what I want to do is I want to understand deeper how I'm going to invest my money and turn that into something that gets me a return on investment, right? But instead of just throwing it at this thing, I want to actually place it where it needs to be. So, Jacob, maybe you can help us and give us the first minute or so about disruptive advertising, your company.
Yeah, you bet. And what you're describing is what we see happen so commonly in the industry. Before starting disruptive advertising, I was actually a web analytics consultant at a company called Omniture that was later bought by Adobe. And I was working with Fortune 100 companies that were paying millions of dollars to help get insights into their web analytics. What's going on online? What is that producing for me? Is it working? And when I realized that, hey, if these Fortune 100 companies don't know what they're doing here, no one else does.
Right.
And I remember distinctly one of my clients had said, hey, you know, they're spending a few million dollars a year on their PPC advertising. And I was looking in their data and saw that, hey, you know, a lot of this budget is you're focusing on these lower cost leads that are coming in. But now that we've connected the dots, very few of those leads are actually turning into sales. In fact, your more expensive leads that you're throttling over here are turning into sales at a much more profitable rate because they're actually closing at a high rate. Those are the types of insights that I started to see. And I thought, all right, hey, you know what? This is the opportunity. There's a big market out there that is not going to be able to afford these types of products. So I took those meat and potatoes, started as an independent consultant, late 2012, early 2013, formally started Disruptive, hired my first employee and had an office in September of 2013. And since then, we've grown from myself. We've got about 85 people here now. We've been growing quite quickly, and we take a lot of pride in helping businesses effectively know how to track and spend their marketing dollars. And that we've been able to take those same principles, apply them to this business, And we've been able to do that without any debt, without raising any money, by applying some of these principles.
All right. So the question is, what does a customer cost you? What is a customer worth to you? We'll take a little break, come back with more of Jacob Badsgod. Disruptive advertising. He spends about $10 million bucks a month on Google and Facebook, so he knows what he's doing. Maybe you should know, too. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Today, we're talking about disruptive advertising. And are you investing your money in social media platforms appropriately? Jacob Badsgod, there, I got it right that time, says that you're wasting 76% of your investment. And, wow, that's pretty scary stuff right there. So, my question to you is that Disruptive Advertising, your company, has created some sort of a software to help increase the success rate for your clients and their spending habits when it comes to the social media stuff. Jacob, maybe you could talk about that and how you guys developed that. That could not have been easy, but that's why it's yours. You put the energy in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that we've been developing over the last several years. And, you know, what we found is we like to work smart. We don't like to work hard if we can help it.
Yeah, right.
And so what we used to be investing anywhere from 40 to even 80 hours in in-depth analysis and an audit to see what was working and what wasn't in these ad campaigns on Google or Facebook is we've just automated it. So now we push a button and it does it for us in 30 seconds.
Ooh, nice.
And so that's the first component of the software that we put together. And there's about 40 to 50 areas that we're analyzing in these accounts to determine how effective and efficiently those budgets are being spent. And that's what we've put together.
So how do I, as a consumer, whether I be a small business, entrepreneur, or even, you know, Mr. Corporate Joe that might be listening going, whoa, we need that right there. I need that easy button, as you just described, you might say. How do we get that from you? Do we subscribe? Do we hire you? Is it something we can buy? Give us that.
The technology component, at least the audit that I just described, we do just provide for free. Mm. Now, it is...
I like you already.
So we don't just have it publicly available. So you would need to reach out to us and a member of our strategy team would run that audit and walk through it with you. Mm-hmm. We do that complimentary. And the reason why is, look, if you have the ability, the bandwidth, and the expertise to go and implement and execute on that, great, go do it. If you don't, we have a team to help, mm-hmm. right? And so it's a great opportunity for us to demonstrate value and send people down a better path or potentially help out as well. And
wow.
But it's a very meaty audit. It provides very actionable insights. And for those that want to run with it on their own, like I said, it doesn't take us long to run. We'll walk you through it to make sure you understand what it's even saying and then let you decide if you want to run with that on your own or if you want some assistance.
Wow, that is first of all, thank you. I mean, I hope that your phone rings off the hook or not because you better be ready. You know, you're talking on 50 radio stations or whatever it is that this show is on. I hope that people take advantage of that. The advertising website here, I should say the website, let me do that again. The website for Jacob Badsgard and his company is disruptiveadvertising.com. I'm personally going to take you up on it because this is one of those questions that I'm like, I got to be like everybody else. Like, I'm going to do this, and I hope to God it works. You know, and then you know, here's Facebook and whoever else that you want to use. They're going to feed you something back, like my dad who gets – I had 12 million people watch that video. I feel bad because I know that is really, gosh, it's really kind of not the truth, even though they can say it is. You had 12 million people watch it for 3 seconds. The question is, did they watch it for 30 seconds, 45 seconds? Was the video an hour? Did they get off the video? Did they drop off at 3 minutes? Did he waste another 57 minutes that he didn't even need? Could his message have been delivered in 1 minute to where people, because they'll invest that certain amount of their time. That's time is money these days. It's like, you didn't get me, so I'm gone. You know, I mean,
right.
I want to know. You know, it's like the inquiring minds want to know. Here's another one for you. What is a customer worth to somebody? I mean, how do I value that? How do I determine what a customer should be worth so that I can then go, well, see now. I mean, these are all questions that I should probably determine on my own, but these are questions maybe you can help. Is there a mathematical equation to, if I spend $1.50 to acquire each one of my customers, then I'm going to, make X dollars. I don't know what that math is, so we're going to come back, talk to you on the other side of the break, because this is a question that needs to be answered by so many. And my question is going to be different from his question. It's going to be different from her question. But maybe you can start to help us to put it all in one little bucket. We're going to come right back with more of Jacob Badsgaard with 4 A's, 6 if you add his middle name. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. So.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
What is a customer worth to you? Man, that's a big question, because I have no freaking idea. So we're going to Jacob Badsgaard. He is the founder and CEO of DisruptiveAdvertising.com on the web. Marketing Math 101. So that wasn't a dumb question. Is that what you're telling me? That I don't know. You know?
No, that's the best question to start with, right? Is most businesses are governed by a couple of simple principles. How much is a customer worth to you? And how much can you afford to spend to get a new customer, right? And so this is why the tech sector is so big right now. The way that they like to refer to it is customer acquisition cost and lifetime value of that customer. And when you can nail those things down, and find marketing channels that produce at the acquisition cost that makes sense, that allow you to make money, well, that's when you can start to scale, turn up the dials, and really grow a business. And so there's a few simple questions, and in answering these, we can actually determine what a client is generally worth and how much we can afford to typically spend in marketing to get that net new customer in the door.
Right.
And so the questions are these. When a customer does buy from you, on average, how much are they spending with you?
Right.
Right? Just average order value. The second question is, how often do they buy from you again? And you may not have all of these numbers buttoned up nicely, but you probably have a decent idea of what that looks like. And you say, okay, if the average customer, when they buy from me for $50, $100, or $1,000, and on average they buy from me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, then we quickly determine what is that customer worth to us. And the mistake that I see businesses making here is they don't think about lifetime value. They think about singular transaction value. Mm. And so that's the catch that you need to keep in mind there is, okay, well, when they do buy, it's this amount. And then how many times do they buy from me? Okay, a customer is really worth about this much to me then. Once we've determined what the lifetime value of that customer is, or at least given ourselves a good general idea of what that is, we then have a basic marketing rule of thumb that would dictate how much we can afford to spend to get that customer. Now, it's a rule of thumb because it's not applicable for everyone, but it surprisingly is applicable for most people. If a customer is worth $100 to me, then this is the rule of thumb. If I'm spending $1 and producing $3 in revenue, a 1-to-3 ratio, I am typically breaking even. If I'm spending $1 and getting $2 in revenue, I'm typically losing money. If I'm spending $1 and producing $4 in revenue, then I'm typically profitable, but not crazy profitable. And at about that 1-to-5 ratio, if I'm spending $1 and producing $5 in revenue, that's typically a scalable model. And so if a customer is worth $100 to you, you're probably breaking even if it costs you $33 to get that customer. Mm. You probably have a good scalable model if it's costing about $20, that 1-to-5 ratios, all right, I'm making $100. If I can get them for $20, I want those all day long. And so those are the questions. That is the rule of thumb that I'm using to determine what's a client worth to me and ultimately how much can I spend to get that customer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So can you look at it this way? Let's just say you don't have the analytics tools, which because we know Jacob Bud's God, we now do. But let's just say you said, okay, well, if I'm spending $25,000 a month on this disruptive advertising campaign. See, I weaved your word right in there, your company. And
Thank you.
No problem. I'll send you a small bill for that. It was a 1-to-5 ratio, so we're good. But if I'm spending that $25,000 a month on advertising and my company is bringing in $100,000 a month, I'm 1-to-4, right? In essence, 25%. Yeah. That's not bad. Can I look at it that way if I just want to do kind of what my dad would call the Jewish bookkeeping he does in his head, right? Because sometimes you got to just do things in your head on the fly. But then you have to also take into effect, what does it cost you to do the cost of sales, your overheads and all that kind of stuff? Because maybe that's another $50,000. So now it's $75,000 a month to bring in $100,000 a month. But then you may say, no, Alan, you don't add your cost of doing that because that's not how this math works. I'm curious about how deep does your math go, Jacob? Are you going to help me with my, my whole equation? Because I'm going to put the kitchen sink into that equation, you know?
And in a perfect world, we do, right? In a perfect world, we would identify all costs.
Yeah.
And that's why, so that we don't get bogged down in getting down into that minutia when it may be premature to do that anyway,
right,
when we're still proving viability.
Right.
That's why we use these rules of thumb. We've now worked with 4,500 businesses, and it's a statistically sound rule of thumb.
Right.
And so most of the time it's going to make sense. Now, there are certain business models that are higher margin or lower margin. It may change that math, but that's why typically at a 1-to-5, if 20% of that is going into acquiring a new customer, that leaves 80% for you to work with to the cost to fulfill, to produce, to create, and deliver that experience or product to the customer and still have some margin left.
Right. All right. We're going to take a break. By the way, my dad is a Jewish man, and he loves to talk about his Jewish bookkeeping. And I'm like, Dad, that's all good, but you got to have a real bookkeeper, too. All right. He's 90. I give him a mulligan for about the last 10 years, but he's done extremely well. And now he, at 90, is trying to learn social media, marketing, and advertising. God bless him. I think that is great. I want to be doing that at 90. We'll take a break and be back with more Entrepreneur Weekly and Jacob Badsgaard. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Ah, the Eagles. Life in the fast lane. And that's what being an entrepreneur is all about. You jump right in. That's what a lot of us do. Whether we know what we're doing or not, we'll learn on the way. We'll use that jumping right in as a learning experience, and we'll make changes along the way, and it usually works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But we found out from Jacob Badsgaard, founder and CEO of Disruptive Advertising, that 76% is a waste of money that we spend on Google and Facebook type of advertising, social media stuff. 76%. So what he did was they did a lot of work, a lot of analytics, and they created a wonderful software that helps people, companies, to increase the success rate. And now he can give us some examples of how they've done that with some of their clients, Jacob.
Yeah, you bet. We've got a few things that our software highlights for us. We just talked about determining what can I spend to get a new customer,
right?
And based on how much that customer is ultimately worth to us. And a few things that we've seen, very, very simple things that we've found in the way that these campaigns are run, ultimately contribute to a lot of that waste. And here's one of the primary ones that I see, Alan, is the campaigns are set up and the budgets are assigned at the campaign level. Yet there's a lot of individual targeting in each campaign. That might be different ad sets in Facebook. That might be different keywords in Google. And the reality is we all operate on a finite budget.
Right.
So that budget runs out for the day. And guess what? Every aspect of that campaign turns off at the exact same time. Rather than staggering, hey, let's turn off the worst performing ones first. Then let's turn off the ones that are a little better, but still not that great.
I like it. So you guys literally have, what is it called in the commodities market? You have the ability to watch how the market is going and turn off, like you said, the ones that are non-performers. Unreal, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you put that behind it, then all of a sudden your budget is going towards your top producers and not being evenly distributed between your bottom and top producers.
Oh, love this. How much does it cost me to do that? Can I be your client today?
Well, the funny thing is we did not develop this technology for our clients. We developed this to streamline our internal processes for my team.
Yeah. And then shared it with your clients.
And then shared it with our clients. Exactly. And so we're just a very meat and potatoes company. And that's why we just really focus on the bottom line, maximizing that. Of that waste, of that 76% in waste, a lot of the times people don't even need to increase their marketing budget. We make a few of these tweaks, the team and the technology. Mm. Now you've put that 76% to good use, and now you're still spending the same amount of marketing dollars. You're just getting 2, 3, 4, 5 times the output from that budget now.
So much of this stuff is like vaporware, and people look at it and go, I don't know what that is. I don't know how they did that. I don't know. And they just, like me, scratch their scabby head and go, cool, man. So, but I imagine there must have been some tremendous investment in a team of people to develop this and build this software.
Absolutely. From a time, resources, and from a cost standpoint, we've certainly made a significant investment there. That being said, we don't just invest in things arbitrarily because we think it's going to help. We understood where our costs, where our efficiencies, and ultimately the results that we needed to drive for the clients that we work with lied. And by identifying that and then focusing our efforts on investing in that technology, we played around with the same thing, which was, hey, with this technology in place, people tend to work with us for X amount longer, spend X amount more. And so it plays right into that marketing math 101 equation for ourselves, yeah, which is our cost stayed the same to get customers, but now all of a sudden we're getting a lot more
right
over the long haul because we're producing more value. So it was a very ROI-driven investment, not just doing it to do it.
That lifetime customer instead of that lifetime value equation. Is there a name for this software we're talking about from Disruptive Advertising Company?
Internally we call it Doctor.
Uh-huh.
It's a technology that, like I said, it's not publicly facing, so people don't just sign up and use it without working with our team. But yeah, it's called the Doctor, and it's the technology that really drives how our teams interact and the results that we get with our clients.
You know what? I love it. I love what you guys are doing. And I certainly think that this is such an important thing for companies, large and small, entrepreneurs, and anybody that spends one nickel on advertising in social media, because and it's already a big problem. You ask anybody that's been advertising anywhere, they know that advertising is working. We know that it's an evil necessity. We just don't know, and we know at least half of it's working, and I know you know what's coming next. We just don't know which half is working. I think this software should help us to understand. And since it's analyzing and saying, all right, you're not performing so well today or at this point, let's spend more on this one that's performing better, and then that one, and then, okay, you've shut down. Does this happen is it happening as the clock is ticking, or does it check in every so often? How does that work? Because that's to me the brilliance of this.
Yeah, it depends on the circumstances. It's in an ideal world, we have statistical significance behind any decision that is made, right, by the technology or by a human.
Yeah.
The realities are that we typically don't have that much data.
Yeah.
And we need to be making decisions on the fly.
Yep.
And so that's where we're just setting thresholds based on the volume and the budget.
Yep. All right.
That we feel like ultimately accomplish our goals.
We're going to put you to the test now, and maybe that whole, what do we call it here, marketing 101, marketing math 101, and maybe a little bit more. Professor Jacob Badsgaard. Now, next, we're going to have you answer, or maybe teach us a lesson on the do's and don'ts and stuff that we can do it on our own at home, just to be conscious of not wasting that 76% on social advertising and marketing. Because, I mean, we're all doing it, everybody. We're all guilty of this. And right now, we've got a guy that has figured it out, and he can help you. You can go to his website, disruptiveadvertising.com on the web. But coming up next, it's the free advice, which, you know, that's how you get them hooked, Doc. Get them hooked. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, it is time for Jacob Badsgaard to put his professor's cap on and teach the class, because we want to know how to not waste that 76% of our money on advertising and marketing, social media. So maybe three or four good nuggets to take away for FREE, free. I love free. And I love the fact that you will help people with an audit on their spending. And then if they want to use this amazing software that you guys have created, which we've just been talking about, I think we would all be foolish not to look into this disruptive advertising company, disruptiveadvertising.com. Professor, the microphone is yours.
There's a few things that I don't see people doing before even starting their marketing campaigns that I think are critical to their success. And you've probably heard the term buyer persona before, or taking the time to identify the types of clients that you like, the types of customers that you don't, and really nailing that down. And as an entrepreneur, the biggest lesson that I've learned over time is that there's absolutely such a thing as bad revenue. Clients that are not worth what they're paying us to work with them.
Right, right.
It's that 80-20 rule. We typically get 80% of our headaches from 20% of our clients. And we also tend to get about 80% of our profits from 20% of our clients. So the first thing that I recommend to anyone before even thinking about, should I advertise on Google? Should I advertise on Facebook? The first question becomes, who do I want to advertise to? What does the ideal client or customer look like to me? And most businesses should be able to narrow this down to about a list of 2 to 5 buyer personas. And it's okay to define those that you don't want to work with as one of these as well. Okay. Now that's the first thing that I'm doing. Okay, perfect. Now that I understand who I want to advertise to, then I'm starting to look and see, is Google, is Facebook, is Twitter, is LinkedIn the best platform for me to get in front of this audience, right? Once I know what platform I want to work with and the audience that I'm addressing, I'm then basically listing out what are some of the top pain points that they have that my products or service solve for them, and coming up with 2 or 3 different ways to describe that. Then I target that audience that I know are going to be the better types of customers that I truly want to have, and I test a few of these different pain points to see which one resonates best with them. I'm testing a couple of different value propositions to see which one resonates best with them. And here's the key. On these first initial probes that I'm using to test into this market with these marketing campaigns, I told you the rule of thumb is we want to produce a 1-to-5 ratio. Don't expect that when you launch a marketing campaign for the first time. What we're looking for is things that clearly do or clearly do not work. and then taking that information and transforming that into a campaign that produces. And so that's the first thing that I'm really doing, is just making sure that I'm targeting the types of customers or clients that I really want to work with or that I want to sell my products to. Now that I've got that put in place and I've got my strategy built around that, I know which platforms I'm going to work on. The next step is making sure that you can track things through to revenue. How are you ever going to optimize a campaign if you can't see what it actually produced from a dollars and cents standpoint for you? Sometimes this is simple. You can manage it in a spreadsheet. Sometimes if you're a more complex or larger business, you need a CRM. You need to integrate it with your marketing platforms. But the reality is, how will you ever make a true optimization to your campaigns if you can't measure it through to revenue? Remember that first example that I shared with this client that was spending millions of dollars a month focusing all their budget primarily on the areas that were producing the cheapest leads for them, when in reality, those leads were not producing revenue or converting into sales for them. So that's the second thing that I would recommend putting in place. And then the third thing is, now that we know these are the customers that we want, this is how we're tracking it through to revenue, this is how you build a scalable model. How many customers do I want this month? Now I can determine what my marketing budget is, and realistically, how many customers I should be expecting to get from that. And then I can map out my growth map for my business moving forward. But if you take those things into consideration, I know who I want to target, where I'm going to target them at. I'm able to track this through to revenue and make true good optimizations. And then using that information to make a growth map and holding myself accountable to growing my business and making sure that I'm sticking to these numbers. Those are the key areas that I would recommend starting with, and that's really going to set you up for success long term.
I love it. Once again, the website is disruptiveadvertising.com. And you know what?
Wow! I feel good.
Yes, I do. I feel like you've given us some great advice and given us a good resource, your company, disruptiveadvertising.com. The one thing that I think is important for us founders like me and my dad is how to transition from being a founder to having a sales team that can actually do things so that you are not responsible for being the breadwinner. And then you say to everybody, I'm the breadwinner. It should be a team of breadwinners. And maybe Jacob Badsgaard can help you with that. Check him out on the web. Jacob, thank you so much. Great job.
Alan, thanks for having me.
Excellent. All right, when we come back, we're going to have our friend Chase Jarvis. He's going to answer your questions. Again, on the other side, we'll give you a phone number. You can then call, ask your question, and Chase will pick one he likes, and then I'll pick one of the ones he likes that I like, and it'll show up on this radio program across America on Entrepreneur Weekly. Coming up next, Chase Jarvis. I'm Alan Taylor. See you in a minute. Sugar and spice.